Just imagine it were your job to, like, decide for a local government who gets to build their playground. What if something goes wrong? You were the person who approved it. And with your signature, you put your head in the noose. Nobody wants to put themselves in this position.
Human beings are not ants. Unlike our tiny friends, we don't naturally know how to live together in large groups. This is why we need rules. And besides political rules, we also have technical rules, also known as standardization. It's actually one of our democratic rights to contribute to shape these rules. In this podcast, I will not tell you what you really should know about standardization. Because Amelie Leibrand will.
The approval jungle. Or, how can I tell that I'm missing a standard if I don't even know that the obstacles I'm running up against are because I'm missing a standard? Welcome back to our little podcast, Human Beings Are Not Ants. What you never wanted to know about standardization, but definitely should know. I am Amelie, and I'm so glad that you've joined me here again today. Well, simply put, it's just not that easy to tell. But maybe you realize that doors are just not opening, that there always seem to be obstacles in the way. Somehow you're stuck and not able to move forward. But that this could be the result of a missing standard, nobody tells you that. You have to understand a few mechanisms working in the background. I'll summarize them under the rough heading of approvals. So here we go. Maybe this situation sounds familiar. You have a great business model with your startup. People are reacting positively. Everyone is wishing you luck and saying that the world really has been waiting for this. But when it comes to buying your product or commissioning your service, nobody does it. Somehow, no one wants to enter into real business relationship with you. No one puts your product on their shelves. No one is placing orders. No big funding program is giving you a hand. Okay, so maybe it's not even absolutely nobody, but business is just creeping along. It's just not enough for a real breakthrough. You talk to the people, ask them what the problem is, and the responsible buyers or administrators or whoever then say, well, I don't know if your product is really good or really safe. Then you hand over information material, maybe scientific papers, your development documents or something, but the other person just keeps saying, yeah, thank you, really exciting, very cool, but I'm just not sure. At some point, you're just frustrated and annoyed. You think this person who has to sign on the dotted line is just dumb. And you feel like, stupid world, what do you want from me? Obviously, change just isn't possible. At this point, it's worthwhile to put yourself in the position of that person. Just imagine it were your job to, like, decide for a local government who gets to build their playground. Or tell a preschool which innovative new toy they should purchase for the kids. People know that you are the one responsible, and they bombard you with all their great ideas. So every day you get about 5 to 10 new stacks of scientific papers on your desk proclaiming that some clever idea is really great and that you now should buy or commission it. It's of course a bit utopian to assume that you'd have such a profound expertise in all areas that you could read, understand, and assess all these scientific papers, even if, in some fantasy world, you had all the time you needed to do so. But let's just assume for a moment that this is the case. And let's also assume that you came across an incredible idea and say to your boss, there is something new, it's really great, and I've checked it all out, we have to go with it. And then you sign off on it and this thing is ordered or commissioned. So, the question that you don't want to hear as an idealistic person, but which is very important, the question is always, what if something goes wrong? Worst case scenario, a child gets injured because, let's say, I don't know, something happened at the playground built by this new company you put under contract. The parents of that child are now going to sue the local government or wherever it is that you work. And your boss will come to you and say, how could you have commissioned this crap? And whether or not it was really crap, you were the person who approved it. And with your signature, you put your head in the noose. Nobody wants to put themselves in this position. And it's not because they are all just dumb or a bunch of cowards. It's because you simply cannot keep track of everything on your own. And because in a society based on the division of labor, responsibility also should be spread over many shoulders. So, let's go back to you as the person who wants to get this innovative idea on the market. So you have this approval person sitting on the other side with the desk full of piles of great ideas. To make progress in this situation, it would be smart to give these people something neutral to put their hand on that can give them some cover. It also helps you to have something neutral up your sleeve, which you can use to demonstrate that your idea is a good one. And you know what's ideal for this purpose? Just take a guess. DIN standards and DIN specs. You don't write them alone. You need at least three stakeholders. I mean, the more the merrier. And these documents have gone through certain processes. And they have been shared with the public during the draft phase, where anyone was welcome to comment. This means the burden of responsibility for the content of such a document lies on many shoulders. Many people have checked and improved it. Much expertise has been incorporated. Many questions have been answered and many contingencies have been considered until the result has been published truly to the best of our knowledge and belief. If, in spite of everything, something does go wrong, the full burden does not fall onto one sole person who gave their approval or on you, but rather a neutral DIN document. Does this only apply to playgrounds? No, of course not. In the very first episode, I talked about open source hardware. So it's not software, we've known about that for a while, but hardware, things, such as combine harvesters, for example. The basic idea is the same, namely, that if you open the source code, then experts will be able to understand what's happening, adapt and develop it according to their own wishes, and in turn, feed that back into the community. When we apply that concept to hardware, this also means that the source code is disclosed, so to speak. In the case of hardware, this means patents, assembly drawings, work instructions, best practices, things like that. What that means exactly, the open source hardware people made this available on their website a long time ago, and anyone interested could find out there. It's a possibility, of course, but on closer inspection, it doesn't exactly inspire much confidence. Because this kind of, I have an idea and isn't it great? Well, first of all, there are loads of people making this claim. And second, it's not yet a guarantee of quality. Everybody writes all kinds of stuff on their website. That doesn't mean much on its own. The open source hardware community then initiated a DIN spec. Two, in fact. There's one for technical documentation requirements for open source hardware and one for community-based conformity assessment, because you can't certify open source as closed source. That kind of contradicts itself. Since then, you can have open source hardware according to DIN. And you know what kind of feedback I've gotten from the open source people? Holy sh! Do you know what a big difference it makes to have those three letters of yours included? Doors that never opened up for us before are suddenly opening. And people who had never given us the time of day before are suddenly saying, oh wow, DIN is on board. Well, then tell us about it. And research grants are suddenly being approved. Oh, that's interesting. So that was a longer excursion into what you can do with standards and what you can use them for. Directly on the ground, for example, when getting approvals or also as a strategic instrument. Check out the other episode on international standardization and secretariats. I could go on and on about all of these topics, but that would go way beyond the scope of our little podcast. In the next episode, we'll go back and talk about DIN a bit. I had promised you some more information. And on that note, until next time, take care and stay curious.